The word come. It's a beautiful word. It's a beautiful word in the Bible. And as we go through a few scriptures tonight, I want you to see what Jesus Christ is inviting people to come to. The misconceptions that are out there that following Jesus and what it means has often been shrouded in the misrepresentations of churches and denominations and organizations and often preachers as well. But the plain truth is that Jesus Christ has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That's his passion for us. And somehow it seems easy for people to miss the abundance that Jesus gives. It's because there's a liar at work too, who seeks to put every roadblock they can. But there's the word, come. And that's a word from God tonight, come. What do we come to Jesus for? Well, let's look at a few things tonight and see what it is that we can come to Jesus for. First of all, we can come for cleansing. We can come for cleansing. Well, if we don't feel we need cleansing, we probably won't come. You know, the cartoon I grew up with was Snoopy and Charlie Brown. Thank you very much. It was Charlie Brown, right? And there was one character in Charlie Brown, what was his name, that was always, every time he walked, dust flew off him. Yeah. What did they call him? Pigpen, not Linus. Linus had the blanket. But they called him Pigpen, right? Why? Because he was always dirty, right? But Pigpen didn't seem to mind, did he? He didn't know that he was dirty, and he didn't care that he was dirty. Well, I'm afraid many people are the same way. Now, there are people who are fastidious about their physical body, but as far as their soul is concerned, they have no regard for their actual soul. That which is most precious has been marred and filth, just full of filth. And the Bible actually says, in the book of Isaiah chapter 1, it says that from the top of the head to the soles of the feet, spiritually, Israel was full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, and nothing was being done about it. They were a wreck. They were a mess. And I don't know about you, but I know you don't have to look far to find mess people. You don't have to look far to find mess societies and messed up communities, and everything is all topsy-turvy in our society. And all the while, Jesus is inviting people to come for cleansing. And that means you. Every person here needs to come for cleansing. And thank God many of you have, but you can come for cleansing to Jesus Christ. You will find no place else. In the book of Jeremiah, it says, though I take much water and soap, nitre, cleaning agent, yet my sin is still marked before you, O God. There is no other solution for cleansing but to come to Jesus Christ, because this is what he says in the Bible. He says, wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless and plead for the widow. Now, here's what it says. Come now. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. I want you to know that God is reasonable. God does not ask you to check your brains at the door when you come into church services, as some people so think. Christianity is the most reasonable thing that anybody could ever experience. Christianity is not something that leaves the mind behind. When people say, oh, you just have to have faith, that faith is founded on reason. It is not founded on fairy tales. It is founded on truth. And it must be founded on truth or away with it all. It must be truth or there is no purpose at all. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. And I have to admit, sometimes there are Christians who just say, well, you just got to believe, you just got to believe. No, you just have to believe the truth. You have to know the truth and then believe the truth. Because faith without the truth is a useless thing. But God says, come and let us reason together. He says, come, this is not unreasonable. It's not unreasonable to see that there is something wrong with the human race. Reason should tell you that. It's not unreasonable to be able to say, there's something wrong with my own heart. Reason should tell you that, though we've tried to self-deny that situation. It's not unreasonable that God should, if there is a God at all, that he should justly punish the wicked. Reason should tell us that God must punish wickedness and that he forgives. It's not unreasonable that God would be a God of compassion and love, that he would forgive even the brokenest and the ruinest and the worst kind of people. And so while God has allowed men and women to go their own way and to experience the results of that in so many ways, he still cries to the human race, come, come, come and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Ah, isn't that wonderful? That even way back in the Old Testament, the invitation was given to people that they could have their sins forgiven and they could find cleansing at only one place. Because only God has the authority to truly forgive our sins. Because it's ultimately him that we have sinned against. But he says, come. Isn't that wonderful? You can come for the pardon for your sins. How many people have shuddered at the door of death with great fear, not knowing what's on the other side, because they have no assurance of the forgiveness of their sins. They have no assurance what's going to happen on the other side. Many people don't even have a clue. But rest assured this, it is appointed unto men once to die, Hebrews chapter 9, but after death comes the judgment. Rest assured. If people don't believe there's going to be a judgment, is that going to make there be no judgment? Not at all. The truth will stay the truth. God reasonably challenges us now. Come now. You know, he doesn't say come tomorrow. He doesn't say come next week. He says come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. And praise God, he can bring us cleansing. So come for cleansing. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God that that's there. Where else? What else do I come to Jesus for? Come with your cares. Come and find rest. Here's what Jesus said. Come to me. Come to me, he says. And I believe with all my heart that I can come to Jesus today just as surely as a man could come to Jesus 2,000 years ago in his very presence. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so I can come with my cares. I can come with my loads. And Jesus has promised that he would give me rest. And he uses a farming illustration. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A yoke that fits on a team of oxen is like this. You can see it here on the oxen. And what happens is that the two oxen are pulling together, and that yoke binds them together to pull the load. And Jesus says, I know you're carrying a load. I know that you have weights in your life. Not just sin, but weight, cares. Do we all have those? Yeah, I do. But what do we do with those cares? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus with the cares. Come to Jesus with those loads. Because what will he do? He says, I will yoke myself to you, and I will pull alongside of you. As a matter of fact, he gives the picture of what happens when you want to train an oxen. You take an old ox, you put a young ox alongside of it, and the old ox does most of the pulling, and the young ox is learning from him. Now, when they choose an old ox to train a young ox, they have to find a gentle ox. They can't find a wild one because he wouldn't treat the young ox, and then it would ruin it. But look what Jesus says about himself. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. When Jesus says, come to me with your load and with your care, he's saying, listen, I'm approachable. I'm an approachable God, and I want you to come just as you are and let me pull those loads because you can't pull them. How many people are stumbling in the road of life? Maybe not just from their sins, but from what other people have done to them. The wreckage and the ruin and the carnage of people who are broken on the road of life. And Jesus says, come to me and I will bring peace. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you tonight that you have invited us not only to come for forgiveness of sins, but you invite us to come with all our loads and all our cares and all our trials and put them at your feet and trust you to carry the load, because he will. It tells, 1 Peter writes, and he says, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Oh, to know, if you couldn't see tonight, how much Jesus cares. How sensitive he is to your hurts. How the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8 that when we can't even pray, when we are struggling to the place where we're not able to pray, the Holy Spirit groans for us. with groanings that can't even be uttered. That's how much God cares for each one of us. Come and find rest for your souls. Well, if that wasn't enough, he offers more. He says, come and be satisfied and be filled. So not only does Jesus want to take away the sin in our lives and bring us complete pardon and forgiveness for that, but then he wants to take the burdens and the cares that weigh us down and lift them up off of our shoulders and carry them. And then on top of that, he wants to come and fill us up with something better, something greater. And so we see here, he says, come and be satisfied. Come and be filled. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 37, on the last day, that great day of the feast. And there as they were out in the Feast of Tabernacles, which was a time when they remembered that they were out in the desert in Israel. And they wandered in that desert and how they had nothing, no food or no drink, but God provided it for them. God provided it for them. And at one point near the end of that ceremony, on the last day, someone would come out with a pitcher of water. The priest would come out with a pitcher of water and he would pour out the pitcher of water. And as he poured out the water, it was a reminder to the Israelites that when they were thirsty, God provided for them. God filled them up. And I believe that it was just as they were pouring out that water on the last day, Jesus cries out. He says, everybody, come to me. I have water. I have real water. I have everlasting water. I have the water of life. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He's not talking about physical water now, is he? He's talking about spiritual water. And he says, I want you to come to me and drink. This is the invitation that Jesus has. And it's an invitation to us. And actually, the tense of this in the Greek is this, let him continually come and drink. Not just come and have a sip, but continually keep on drinking from me. That's the tense of the words that's here. And he's inviting people and he's crying out to the crowds of people, the multitudes that would have been there, swelling to almost 1 million people in the area of Jerusalem, Jews from all over, coming for the Feast of Tabernacles. And Jesus is crying out and he says, if you're thirsty, come and drink. Thank God that he's not only a God who takes away our sins and not only a God that lifts our burdens, but he's a God that fills us up. I want everything that Jesus has to offer, don't you? I don't want a halfway-hearted Christianity. I want all of the fullness that God is offering because I need it all. If I didn't need it, he wouldn't be offering it. I know I need it. And some people might say, well, how do I come? Look what it says. He explains how. He who believes in me, trusts in me. As the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. How do I get there? By trusting God. I come to Jesus and I trust him. I trust him with my life. I trust him with everything. Lord, I trust you to be my fullness today. Tonight, Lord, Spirit of God, fill me up. And he will do just that. But he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive. The Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And so he was speaking about a future event that would happen, and that was the outpouring of the Spirit of God on the church. But that has happened. It has happened. Hallelujah. And I can come and I can drink. And I can be full of the Holy Spirit. And not only full, but the Bible promises what? Rivers of living water. Not a brook, not a trickle, not a pipeline, but rivers, not one river, but rivers flowing out of me and out of you. That's the promise. That's overflow. Now, often, the testimony to the world is that Christians don't seem to live any differently than non-Christians. So why should they even consider Christianity? But when non-Christians see overflow, when they see the love of God pouring out of Christians' hearts, when they see the person of the Spirit of God filling congregations and causing people to see the real presence of God and the power of God, they are deeply affected. Did you know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says somebody who is unlearned, somebody who is not a believer, who comes into a congregation where the Spirit of God is in operation, they fall down and say, truly, God is in your midst. Oh, that we would have people falling down in our services and saying, God is here. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what David said today to me. He said, when I walked in there, I knew that God was there. He said, I sensed the love of God and the presence of God in those meetings. Praise the Lord. That can happen. And that's the promise of God. And it's our promise. It's a promise that Jesus gives to us as we walk by faith and trust in him. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it glorious? He invites us to come. In the book of Revelation, at the end of the book of the last book of the Bible, Jesus says this: I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. I am the bright and the morning star. And then this wonderful verse here says this: and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Now, the Spirit is the Holy Spirit, the Lord. But what's the bride? We are, right? So not only is Jesus inviting people to come now, we find here that the Spirit and the bride, which is the church of God, is inviting people to come, right? Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. And let him who hears, once I hear the message of coming and I come, what do I say? Come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Whoever desires. What a glorious open invitation from God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you tonight that you're inviting us to come. We're coming for fullness in every way. And not only are you inviting us, but then we in turn are what? Inviting others. Come, come. How could we not? How could I sit with all of this blessing and just hoard it to myself? Do you remember a story in the Old Testament where there were lepers and there was a battle on and the city was sieged by the enemy, and the lepers were going to die at the gates of the city? And they said, well, we're going to die anyway. Let's go over the hill to where the enemy is. Maybe we can get something there. So they go over the hill to where the enemy is, and lo and behold, God had judged that enemy, and they were all gone and dead, and all the spoil of the camp was there. So the lepers said, whoa, we've got it made in the shade, and they began to feast on everything. And all of a sudden, as they were doing this, they realized, how can we do this while our people are starving just over the hill? We have to go and tell them. Now, they had a struggle trying to convince them because nobody wanted to listen to these lepers. But finally, they were convinced and they came, and there was all kinds of provision. So we say to others, how could I sit and enjoy the blessing of God and not invite others to come? You know why most people aren't out there evangelizing people? Do you want to know why? Because they're not enjoying Jesus themselves. If you enjoy something enough, you're going to tell somebody about it, right? If you're full to overflowing with the incredible power and the presence and the love of God, you won't be able to keep silent about it because your life is filled up. Have you ever experienced that? To some extent in your life, as God begins to fill you up, you're so full of joy and the joy of the Lord. You want others to know. You can't help it. Praise the Lord. You know, when we saw that Jesus inviting us, if you're thirsty, come and drink. I just want to point something out. Jesus knew what it was to thirst. He thirsted at the cross. It says, after these things, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, John 19:28, I thirst. And you know, I believe that was a picture showing that, yes, he physically thirsted at the cross, but he thirsted at the cross so you don't have to thirst spiritually. He took your place. And he experienced the awful thirst of hell that you might be delivered from that and enjoy the fullness of heaven. And lastly tonight, Jesus invites us to come and worship. Come and worship. Psalm 95:6, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. We were made to worship. You were made to worship. It's a funny thing that many people don't even know what they were made for. They think they were made for this and made for that, but you were made, created to worship God. It is part and parcel of what God has put the warp and woof in you to be a worshiper of God. The human race was meant to worship God. And when you're not worshiping God, there's a huge hole, a huge gap in your life and in your experience. That's the truth of the matter. And that is why so many are trying to fill their lives, to fill the holes and the gaps, and they can't do it. There's nothing that will fill this except true worship to God. Look what Jesus said in John 4:23. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. He's looking for worshipers. Do you want to be one of those? Yes, Lord. Now, that's not just singing a song in a church service. You know what spiritual worship is? It's presenting your whole being to God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beg of you, brothers, to present your whole being to God, your bodies to God, as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable worship or your spiritual worship. God's inviting you to this. Oh, be a worshiper. Be a surrendered person to God. And as you honor him, as you glorify him, ah, the joy of the Lord that comes. Isn't it wonderful? It often we see that being expressed in singing, don't we? As we worship God. Come and worship. Because God is looking for worshipers. And he's looking for true worshipers. He's not looking for fancy stuff. He's looking for hearts that are yielded and surrendered to him. Now I want to say this. In concluding this little message tonight, I want to say that Jesus Christ has called us to this place of salvation. And in John 10:10, he says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Now, I want you to notice something here. With all the calls that I gave you tonight from the Word of God for you to come to God, what does this verse tell us? It's God coming to us. Thank God that's true. Because if God didn't come down to us, we would never be able to come to him. It's him that bridged the gap between God and men. We don't have to build the Tower of Babel to reach heaven. We don't have to try and find our way to find God up there somehow. He has come all the way down to us. Praise his holy name that Jesus has come to us so that we can come to him. That it's he that has come and dealt with the awful gulf of sin that keeps us away from himself. It is he that has done everything that needs to be done, and we just need to come, as we saw in John chapter 7, by believing in him. That's our part, to trust, to actually believe, to take the simple step of faith and say, okay, Jesus, I'm trusting in you now. I have come because he has done all the work. He has done everything so we can come for cleansing, so we can come and have our burdens lifted, so we can come and be filled up, so that we can come and truly worship God the way that he has called us to. Isn't that beautiful? That's what the Lord has done. This is what God has done. And in the meantime, the thief comes, and he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Which way are we going to go? Who are you going to serve? This wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, there's no one like him. We honor him tonight, and we come to him, and we come and find rest and peace and fullness and joy and worship. And we thank you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close with a song.
Sure I have faith, and so have you. And now we reason, what shall we do? Sure I've been down, we all felt that way. Where is the answer? What can I say? Let's go to Jesus and show him our hearts, show him our pain, and show him our scars. Let's go to Jesus, together we'll meet, and lay all our burden at Jesus' feet. Sure I have cried, we both have known pain, we're really no different, we're really the same. Sure we've been hurt, but so has he. Look on his face now, what do you see? Love in his eyes and scars in his hands. All that he suffered was part of his plan. Freely he'll give, yes, all that we need. Oh, praise him forever and bow at his feet. Oh, let's go to Jesus and show him our hearts, show him our pain, and show him our scars. Oh, let's go to Jesus, together we'll meet, and lay all our burden at Jesus' feet.
First verse again.
Sure I have faith, and so have you, and now we reason, what shall we do? Sure I've been down, we all felt that way. Oh, where is the answer? What can I say? Yes, let's go to Jesus and show him our heart, show him our pain, and show him our scars. Oh, let's go to Jesus, together we'll meet, and lay all our burden at Jesus' feet.